amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
The Word of God tells us that His grace is sufficient, that He is glorified in our weakness. Do you feel weak? His Word also tells us not to be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you weary? The testing of our faith. Will we believe when everything around us seems to cancel out what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, what we're believing God for? He calls us to a higher dimension of life, to take the high life, not the low life. His Word encourages us to come up higher, not just live this self-centered, ego-centered life. I love to see things and feel things. I love to understand things in my mind. But the Lord has a different way. He wants us to believe in something we cannot see, to believe Him, that He watches over His Word to perform it, that He hears our prayers, that He's going to work all things together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. He's calling us to be men and women of God. And little children He's touching in a very strong way right now. They seem to be exploding with faith and just seem to put us to shame. Sometimes much knowledge leads to sorrow. The older we get, the more we know, the more we have observed of life. And it's harder for us to believe, to have the faith of a little child, and that's what Jesus is calling us to do, to believe in that which we can see. When we pray, to believe that He answers our prayers, and He is going to work all things together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Hebrews 11th chapter 6 verse. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Romans 9th chapter 33rd verse. And he who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Do you ever feel so broken? Do you ever feel really embarrassed? Do you ever feel so unworthy of God, and the enemy would say to you, you are unworthy. How can you be saved? Surely he didn't save you. Do you know the enemy is a liar, a thief, and a murderer? That he will distort the Word of God? And it is so important that we renew our minds through the Word of God. And when the enemy says to you, you are unworthy, you can say to him, that's right, I am. But the blood of Jesus Christ, what He did on Calvary for me, has saved me. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The Word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous among us. But because of the amazing love of the Father, He sent His Son that we might have eternal life. And even when we've been Christians for many, many years, the accuser of the brethren, that's what he's called. There is a devil, there is an enemy of your soul that would steal your joy if you let him. One of his largest tools is the spirit of deception. He will distort reality to you. He will put pictures on your mind, flash pictures from the past, drugs, alcohol, lust, your past sins, and try to entrap you, ensnare you, or try to talk you out of the fact that you are saved, or that you still have the problem, and try to lure you back to the past. And that's why it's very important to have those things that ties to the past, even sometimes things around the house that are connected with past sin, to get rid of them so the enemy doesn't have anything to work with. Sometimes even a wardrobe, clothes that you have worn when you were doing drugs, prostitution. Certain things connect with the past. And if you have things around your home or in your wardrobe that trigger past memories, past sorrow, past rejection, if you can, it's best to eliminate them so the enemy doesn't have any area to torment your mind. He will draw upon those past experiences consciously, subconsciously, and try to draw you back into rejection, pain, mourning, and sorrow. Not that those are not appropriate feelings to be sorrowful and to mourn over sad things that have happened, but not when it goes on and leads to a depression. The Word tells us to think about what is lovely, true, and beautiful, and of good report. Also, to put on the full armor of God. There is no place in Scripture where it tells us to take off the armor of God. And I see the armor as putting on Christ. Reading from Ephesians 6, chapter 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you were in the army, you would learn how to take care of your weapon. A soldier must be able to clean his weapon in the dark, under the most adverse circumstances, to take care of his gun or whatever weapon he is firing. His life depends upon that weapon. He might even sleep with his weapon. The sword, the Word of God, to fight the powers of darkness. Whatever weakness you have in your life, to learn the appropriate scripture to fight the enemy. If the enemy is fear to you, if that is the area where the enemy would come, the Word tells us that fear has torment, and that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And perfect love casts out fear. So if fear is your enemy, learn that scripture. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Anxiety is terrible. There are so many people that are suffering from free-floating anxiety. Reading from Philippians 4th chapter 6th verse. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And reading on, the peace that passes all understanding shall be yours in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. To bring every thought under subjection to the tearing down of strongholds. Not to be anxious, but to pray about everything, and then leave it. Leave it with God, and believe that He's going to do it. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you.
Psalm 55, verses 22 and 16 and 17.
His yoke is easy and His burden is light. There are times where we pick up someone else's burden, and God does call us to pray and to intercede for His people. But if you find yourself walking around with like a heavy blanket over your head and your shoulders drooping and days are going on, I'm afraid you have picked up something else. Either you have not given it to the Lord or you have taken on something that is not yours. God will give the person going through a situation the grace, but many times we don't understand that we've identified too closely and maybe have gotten into resentment or anger because we see those that we love or care about in an unrighteous situation. So there is a way of praying and releasing and trusting God. Reading from Habakkuk, 3rd chapter, 17th verse. God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. Though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. That God will make a way where there is no way, and if there is a mountain and He wants you to climb it, He'll give you the strength to climb the mountain because He has a beautiful lake on the other side. He has springs of refreshing. He has a place of restoration. And he has a plan for your life. And many times we cannot get to that plan until we've climbed a mountain, until we've gone through a difficult situation and become so frustrated that we're willing to say, whatever, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And the Lord is just waiting for us to say that. He's looking for surrendered hearts, hearts that believe his word, and who will stand on his word and believe that he is faithful. Reading from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, 2nd verse. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Fear is sin. I've had this discussion with God before, complaining, ranting a little, and I heard that still small voice say to me, you have not suffered to the shedding of blood. And I thought, oh my, forgive me, God. Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And the word tells us he never sinned. Reading from Matthew 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter, which is the enemy of your soul and mine, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8th chapter, 3rd verse. Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he quoted Deuteronomy 6th chapter, 16th verse. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. The deceiver used the word of God on Jesus, and Jesus answered him with the word of God. The word of God, truth, held in tension. We must know the word of God. We have to know what God is saying to us, that we be not deceived by man or the powers of darkness. And through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we will know the truth as we rest and abide in the Most High God. To rightly divide the word of God.
You are near. Please be near.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God made flesh who dwelt among us. Jesus never did anything he didn't see the Father do. So his actions were the actions of the Father. He knew the Word of God. He quoted from the Word of God. And people were amazed when he spoke. They couldn't believe that someone who came from Nazareth could speak with such learning. Reading from John 7th chapter, 14th verse. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews therefore were marveling, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Jesus always gave glory to the Father, never took it for himself. The enemy will always seek for a weak point, whether it be pride, arrogance, fear, unbelief, lust. He will look for your weak point and work on it. And that is why we need to know the Word of God. Just reading some scriptures on the Word, Deuteronomy 8:3, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Joshua 1:8. The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure, silver refined in a furnace, on the ground, purified seven times. Psalm 12:6. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. That scripture is so important. If you have trouble with anger, remember, a calm answer turns away wrath. There are so many scriptures that will give you the answer to your sin problem, to your weakness, that you might defeat the enemy. But that word has to be so engrafted within us, so part of us, that we don't have to think about it. It automatically comes to our mind and to our spirit. There is no time to think of what the scripture says. That word has to become flesh within us. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So important. Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119:24. Every word of God proves true. Proverbs 30:5. Seek and read from the book of the Lord. Isaiah 34:16. We can read the word of God over and over again, and yet the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will give us new revelation on how to apply that word to our business dealings, to our friendships, in our time, what time to spend on what, how to make right financial decisions, how to spend our money wisely, how to invest in the kingdom, seeking the kingdom first, and then everything else will be given unto us, knowing that whatever we give shall be given back, full measure, shaken down, running over. Whatever you give shall be given back. To the merciful you shall receive much mercy. If you're having trouble in an area of your life, get the word out, get the book out. Look up in the concordance what God says about the problem. See what his remedy is. It's all here. All the wisdom that you are going to need to live a successful, healthy, peaceful life filled with joy unspeakable. The Father has the answers. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will just fall in place. God loves you with an amazing love. Yes, he does.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovementries.org.